Hello.
Hello, Jean-Michel.
Yes.
Hi, it's Jeremy.
Oui, Jeremy, ça va?
Not too bad.
Okay.
Okay, welcome to Stir the Pots.
So, what do you want to know from me?
Everything. Well, I guess we'll start with where I usually go with my guests is how did you become a cook?
How did I become a cook? Well, basically, when I was young, I didn't want to study. And my father didn't give me the choice. He said, if you don't want to study, then you have to work. And so he said, what do you want to do? Well, at that time, I didn't know really. But my parents used to have a brasserie, a cafe brasserie in France. And I used to work and help them a lot. So, he said to me, do you want to stay in that kind of business? What do you want to do? You want to be a carpenter, a mechanic? What do you want to do? So I said, well, why not? Maybe I could stay in that business. And he said to me, okay, so what you have to do, you have to learn how to cook. I said, why not how to be a waiter? He said, no way. You are going to learn how to cook. Waiter is not a profession. Maybe he was right, I don't know. So the fact that I didn't want to go at school again, he said, so you have to find we have to find you a spot for fine, to do an apprenticeship. And that's what we did. This is I started it. From there, I did a 3 years apprenticeship in a small restaurant in the countryside. I was 1 star on the Michelin Guide. And then from there, my father, who used to know the Trois Gros brothers in Rouen, he got in touch with them, and he said, "Okay, this is where we are at. My son is doing an apprenticeship. Will you be interested to have him, later on in your kitchen?" They said, "Yeah, of course." So my father booked me a spot over there. Because at that time, in such restaurant like Trois Gros, you had to reserve your spot 2, 3 years in advance to be able to work in their kitchen. So this is what happened after my apprenticeship. I spent a year and a half at Trois Gros restaurant. But so while I was doing my apprenticeship, I was very motivated, knowing that I will be one of the best restaurants in France after that.
Sure.
So this is how I started it, you know.
Well, I mean, you've been to some of the greatest and largest and best restaurants in France. How do you compare those experiences and what we have here in New York? Are we on par with great French cuisine as it was back in the day?
You're talking about specifically French cuisine, compare
Well, I
French
mean,
cuisine here and French cuisine in France?
I think more in terms of restaurants now that we have. I mean, do you think the quality is as good as it was in the restaurants that you worked in when you started?
Oui, no, definitely. Now, the quality of restaurants here in this country is up to the standard, the French standard, definitely, yes. And even maybe sometimes better, because here in this country you can find some high-end restaurants which are not really French, but they can be Italian, they can be Japanese, they can be from the Middle East, high-end restaurant. In France, they are more. They stayed with the French cooking and the French restaurants. They don't have such diversities in nationalities. In cooking nationalities. Yeah, do you understand what I mean?
Sure. And do you think that's a reason maybe that French cooking has kind of like fallen back and now there's a big movement of, Spanish chefs and things like that?
Yes, little bit, little bit. I think at one point, French chefs were not that open, and it could have played in their the favor, but I think, we still have great chefs in France, great restaurants, and creative guys too, but they want to stay away from the fusions. They want to stay, and why not? I mean, they want to keep that French identity, and why not? But being there in New York for so many years for me now, and it's difficult to imagine cooking without fusion. So that makes the difference between me as a French chef and those guys who stayed in France.
Well, I always remember that when you were teaching us how to cook, when we were at Raphael, about, talking about simplicity, how people could judge you just from having your salad and tasting your vinaigrette and making sure everything was seasoned. And do you think sometimes, though, that fusion can be, as some people have said, confusion?
Oh, definitely. Yes, fusion can be confusion. Yes. Yes, definitely. Yes, too much fusion. Yes, it's not too good. I mean, too many things on the plates and too many different tests, and definitely that's not something I can understand, and I like. I don't like too much, no. Yeah. It's yes, definitely it's
And what about
confusion.
all this, like, sort of molecular and scientific cuisine? How do you feel about that?
Oh, that's something I have a hard time to understand, and I don't think this is a kitchen that's going to last really. You cannot feed yourself on that. I don't think so. This is for very creative people and who wants to really play with the food. But I don't think, for me, I don't see it as a serious cooking.
I mean, for me, it seems like it interferes with what the natural product is, and you're trying to change it to a different texture, or I mean, you already are when you're cooking food, but it goes to an extreme in a sort of sense.
Way, yeah, but I never tested really. I never went to Spain to test those guys, but I will say that from what I read, from what I saw in many magazines and books, I can understand that yes, it's a completely metamorphose of the product. You completely change the product. There is no respect for the simple identity of the product. Not anymore. I mean, that's kind of you torturated the product, and I don't like too much that thing,
Well, how do you go about teaching young chefs or budding chefs to cook correctly with so many influences like food television? How do you focus them on real traditional cooking?
Well, I don't understand completely your question here.
How do you teach your chefs in your kitchen to cook the way that you were taught, a traditional method, the really the standard French cuisine, rather than, a lot of young guys, they have a few ideas and right away they want to be the big new TV star. How do you focus them and hold them down and say, no, you have to do this first to get to point A
Oh,
to point B?
but I think when they come to me, they come to me because they know that they are going to stay in a classic in a classic on a classic way, and they are going to stay on the traditional way to cook. That's why they come to me. So I don't have to fight off anything, on anything, to keep them in my kitchen and teaching them, how what is traditional cooking. I mean, they are here for that. They enjoy it. They agree with the style of cooking we do, and I mean, there is no problem with that, and it's we are talking the same language. Now, if they want really to play with fusions and all those things, there are plenty of other restaurants in the city where they can play with that.
And what influences your cooking, the market, the season?
Well, the season, market, of course. But mostly the season, and mostly the season. Yes, I will say we change the menu 3-4 times a year, and As I said at the beginning of your interview, I play with the fusion a little bit, but not too much. So sometimes we try to play with some trends, if I like them, why not to use them, if they stay reasonable, and if they are reasonable, so I will play with that a little bit too.
And how much influence do you take from your cooks and say, hey, maybe that's a good idea, I'll try that?
How much influence I take
from the other chefs
I have with me?
Yeah.
Well, I take as much as I can,
Steal with your eyes and your ears.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean, it's always nice to listen to other people and to get some ideas from different guys. And I am very open to that, very open to that, yes.
Yeah. And in your opinion, what's harder, to be a chef or an owner of a restaurant?
Well, I will say, when you combine the chef and being an owner, it's very difficult. It is very difficult because you wear different caps, and this is not simply being in your kitchen every day and thinking only about what you're going to cook today. No, it's not anymore that. When you are the owner of a chef and owner, you have to think about what's going to be the special, but you have to think, about the payroll at the end of the week, and to deal with the repair guys for the refrigerations, and to deal with the guy from the insurance company, and and then after that, the customers want to see you in the dining room. And it never stopped. And in the afternoon, you have to do the wine tasting, and it never stopped. It is 14, 15 hours a day in a shop.
Yeah.
So, it's not easy. It's very difficult.
Uh-huh.
But when you like it, it becomes to be okay.
There's been some recent revivals of the bistro brasserie kind of restaurants in New York. Do you think that's a sign that people are kind of tired of going out to the real fancy white tablecloth restaurants, or is it maybe the change of the economy setting the trend for a simpler kind of way of eating?
It's a little bit of everything. I will say, I have a lot of customers who keep telling me, that Jean-Michel, stay with what you are doing, because we are tired of having experience in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Okay. I think more and more people want to go to restaurants now to eat and not to experience anything. Okay. They want to go to restaurants to eat before anything.
Yeah.
Now, the economy. Well, yes, people are trying to be to watch, maybe they're spending a little bit. But, I'm still selling a lot of Doversol, and they are at $52 a piece on my menu. And the trend of the new bistro, French bistro, I think is due in part of the Ducasse arrival with Benoit. Suddenly, the New York Times is mentioning that, no more Italian bistro, now it will be French bistro again.
Yeah.
Well, but French bistro have been around for quite a while and doing very well. I'm glad to see that, the food critics are recognizing that, the French bistro are sustaining food, and we're still around,
It seems there's been so many Italian restaurants here, it's kind of like a glut now. It's like, hey, we need something else, something good.
I think with all the respect, I have for the Italian cooking, but I think, for the same price, you can find something, a little bit more elaborated, in a in a French place, you know,
Yeah.
and we have a little bit more diversities of classics too, you know, in our repertoire, you know, the
Sure.
French. So, you know, I think,
And who's your greatest cooking influence?
I will say Trois Gros en One certainly influenced me the most. But I had very, very good experience in London when I was working at the Connaught Hotel with
Michel Bourdin.
Michel Bourdin. Yes, exactly. I talked to you about it, you know, a few times. And this is really where I learned the big French cooking foundation, you know, all the basics. This is where I learned them, yes. That was it was a huge kitchen with 50 chefs in 1978. We used to do only what 200 covers, and 50 chefs for 200 covers. It's a lot of chefs, I'll tell you that. So, and it was really, really the high-end classic cooking, you know.
I always remember, we worked in a really small place together, but it was really the foundation for me to really learn how to hands-on do everything in the kitchen from you and working with just a few cooks. And I think it was the best experience I ever had as a chef, and I still do dishes that you taught me, and it's a great influence, and I appreciate that.
You know, I'm glad to hear that, Jeremy. Thank you. It's always nice to hear things like this, yes, always.
Did you ever think of opening another restaurant, or is one enough?
Well, no, I think if I do something, it will be outside of New York, but New York becomes more and more difficult to run, and one place in New York, I think it's really enough. It's really, really enough, yes.
And if you were to open another place, would be something small, even more personal?
Well, it will be something completely different than Lapsang. Maybe a different concept. A completely different concept. Right? Unless, you know, I find somebody one day who said, okay, Jean-Michel, this is what I want in a such place. I want you to reproduce Lapsang as it is. Why not? Okay.
Sure.
But on my own, you know, I feel like sometimes to do something different, little bit different. So if I have to open something somewhere else, it will be a different concept, I think.
And what's your favorite signature dish that you like to prepare?
Oh, there are a few, but on a regular menu all year round, you know, we do what we call the poached chicken, the poached poulard in the black truffle broth, in winter black truffle broth. And this is a wonderful dish. Because this is very tasty, very light. Bon, putting on the apart the fact that, you know, they are black truffles, you know, but you know, chicken is very popular. Everybody loves chicken, and the way we do it is poached in a double chicken broth, scented with truffles. And served with it on vegetables, cooking vegetables. And it is a light and very light and tasty dish. And now, winter time, we do a classic, which is the venison and foie gras pie, which is a little pâté, a little pie, stuffed and built with layers of venison steak and a steak of foie gras. And everything is held with a binding,
A farce.
yes, and a puff paste. And this is a very, very tasty dish and very successful in the winter time here at Lapsang. Very rich, by
Oh, I'm sure.
the
And why not? With a little bit of wine, it helps.
Well, exactly, yes, and we serve a red wine with that. Oh, yeah, a red wine sauce.
You have a predominantly French wine list, and I'm sure that's for the reason because you're a French restaurant. But do you ever think of introducing more American wines to your menu?
Well, we have quite a decent amount of American wines already. But being French restaurants, I think we have to, before anything, to concentrate on French wine, you
Sure.
know, which is quite difficult these days because with the price of wines, you know. But we still try to do it, you know, the best we can, you know,
Sure.
to manage. But I think it is important for us, you know, to keep French wines on the menu, you know, a good amount of French wines on the menu. Yeah. The way, you know, I like very much the American wines, you know, the Pinot Noir, for example, are very nice, you know, and but you know, I think we ought to be French before anything, you know.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Do you still cook at home, or is that just a no-no for you now?
No.
No.
Well, if I try to stay away from that. No, I mean, well, when we have people in the country, you know, coming, you know, in the country, here in the city, I don't cook, of course, but in the country, I can cook, yes. I cook, yeah, because my wife is not a chef at all. She doesn't like to cook. So I have to do it.
That sounds
So,
like my wife.
well, yeah, I have to cook at home when we have guests, you know. Yes, but I will try to do it in a way where I'm not going to spend the whole day cooking, you know,
Sure.
because. When you are in a restaurant 6 days a week, you know, cooking, I mean, you want to relax a little bit, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Huh? No?
Okay. If you were going out tonight, where would you want to go to eat? Let's say anywhere in the world. Or I mean, we'll be more specific, New York, because we're in New
You
York.
mean a restaurant I will favor or something I would like to try? What?
Well, a restaurant.
Well, there is a place where I've never been yet. It is the Robuchon restaurant, and everybody is telling some very nice things about it. So that will be my next visit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And what is your favorite American food?
My favorite American food.
Yeah, if there is one.
Or is it very American? I don't know, but. Well, for sure, the burger, a
Sure.
good burger. Come on, it's very, very, very nice. And then after the ribs, you know, but
Oh,
are they
yeah.
very American, the ribs? I don't know.
Yeah, it's hard to
Maybe
say. Some
more.
people say barbecue came from the French, so yeah.
But, you
Okay.
know, yeah.
Oh yeah, are you gonna write a cookbook?
Well, a few people ask me already that question. You should write a cookbook. You should do something. And I think one day, I think of it, yes. I think one day, you know, I'm going to do something. Yeah. Yes. I don't know when, but I think I will have to do it, yes.
Yeah. Well, I still have some of your recipes that I wrote down when I first went to work for you, and they're
So
like,
maybe I have to call you back because
yeah.
maybe I don't have them myself.
Oh, okay. Well, they're all in my terrible handwriting, so I'll have to type them out for you. But they're all the classics we did at Raphael, and those were always fun to do.
Of course, of course. Okay, Rafael. Yes, it's such a nice souvenir, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Yeah, all
All
right.
right. Well, thank you for your time, and I promise to get you that bottle of wine that I'm looking for, so you can try some good American wines and tell me if you like them.
Okay, Jeremy. So
Okay.
thank you for calling, and okay, don't hesitate to stop at Lapsang sometimes, all right?
Okay.
All right, Jeremy.
Okay. Thanks, Chef.
You're welcome. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Oh well.